Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, Dirty Money Moves listeners, it's Jamie. I've got a great episode for you today featuring a conversation that I had with Roberta Blevins, host of Life After MLM podcast. Not only is she a podcast host, Roberta is someone who's leading the charge in the anti-MLM movement. Roberta's name might sound familiar to those who binge a lot of documentaries, like me, because she was prominently featured in Prime Video's docuseries titled Lula Rich. Lula Rich exposed the shady business practices of LuLaRoe, an MLM company that's been widely criticized for its problematic practices. Roberta was in deep with LuLaRoe a few years ago, but she was able to leave the MLM company after realizing that it's basically a scammy pyramid scheme that wrecks people financially, among other things. Roberta is a subject matter expert when it comes to MLM companies, so I was really excited to have her on Dirty Money Moves to discuss MLMs, scams, pyramid schemes, and more. I hope you enjoy my chat with boss babe turned boss, Roberta Blevins. Well, I want to start out by welcoming you to the show. I have been listening to your podcast for quite some time now. I have seen you on the documentary for LuLaRoe, and just really, you have become sort of like that top source that I would think of who has a wealth of information and knowledge about, you know, MLM, anti-MLM. And I know that you are really sort of leading the charge in this big anti-MLM movement. We can talk all about that. But Roberta, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, thank you for that introduction. My name's Roberta. I live in San Diego, born and raised, and I was part of LuLaRoe. It was in a documentary. It was a pyramid scheme. I was one of the whistleblowers and sort of just told the world my story. And here we are. I mean, it's been like the course over like the last 6 years. It's a very Reader's Digest version of it. But yeah, the anti-MLM movement is huge. I am one of the people that is leading the charge on this. It's become my full-time job, and that's what I do now.
And you know, it's so necessary. The more that I have learned about this, like, you know, I said before we hit record, you know, you've been doing this for longer than I have, but I have come full circle on this thing, like so many people. Whereas I would venture to say that just about every woman or person has some experience with an MLM, whether it was you were recruited, you bought the products, you hosted a party, you went to a party. You like that. All there is in some way. I never actually joined an MLM, although I did think about it pretty hardcore at least twice. And, you know, there was always something inside of me that was like, I'm not convinced that this is going to work out for me, but I wanted to. It all sounded great. I didn't know much other than my instincts were telling me, I'm just not sure this is going to work out. And you know what it was? It was that every single person I knew that was part of an MLM, they weren't making money. They didn't seem to be making money. I had not done a deep dive. I didn't know whether they were or weren't. But it always seemed like somebody would start and it was all exciting. They buy the kit, they tell a few people, and then you just fade out because it's so much harder to be successful in it than it seems at the onset, right?
Yeah. And then if you ask that friend, oh, hey, I thought you were selling those shakes or those pills, they're like, oh yeah, I'm not really a salesperson. And then that's the end of it. And then they don't say anything anymore. And you're like, oh yeah, me neither. And it's like, I don't know, like of any other like abusive act where people are like, oh yeah, I wasn't very good at it. Like, it's not the case though.
It's not you. It's them. I promise. Right. And you know, that leads me to another thing. It's like, you know, I've listened to some of the, which by the way, we should mention your podcast. You have a great podcast called Life After MLM. And by the way, I love your cover art.
Oh, it perfectly. My daughter helped me make it.
I love it. You know, it's like, I totally, just by looking at your cover art, it's like, I know exactly what this show is about.
not even looking at the title. So it's very, very good job. Love the colors.
Thank you. Everything.
Yeah. But even besides all of the pressure, once you do join an MLM and they're like, you got to do this and you got to do that. And why aren't your sales here? And you know more about that than I do. But almost everybody fails. They join an MLM, right, and it is legitimately an industry that is really set up for you to fail. The statistics say what? 99% plus of people either don't make money or actually lose money.
Yeah. When all is said and done, 99.7%, I think, is the highest statistic that we've seen, is 99.7% when all is said and done. And that's like including your sunk cost, your opportunity cost, the money that you're putting in, you know, what you're not doing because you're doing this and that sort of stuff. But yeah,
it's literally an industry that is set up for you to fail. Yet here we are, you know, if you join an MLM there, you are 100% going to feel when you, that you're just not good at this. You're a failure. I've heard a girl, you know, who was interviewed on your podcast, and she's just like, God, she went through this like deep depression after it didn't work out for her. And she absolutely felt like, fuck, like I have failed.
Right.
When she literally joined an industry that is set up and designed for her to fail.
Right. Because everybody that introduced her to the business or was in the business with her told her how easy it was.
Yes,
and how it sells itself and how everybody wants this and it's the best product on the market. And like, you just have to get it in front of the right eyes, and you're doing that and people still don't want it. And it's a lot of people take it personally. Like, it must be me because they have the car, they're going on the vacations, they've got the team, this person over here is just killing it. It's got to be me. It has to be me. And I think what we see is only the successful people, right? We don't see the failures. And so 99.7% of us are failures. We don't see that because it has now successfully been turned into, well, you just weren't a salesperson, or you just didn't work hard enough. And that's the reason you failed.
Yeah, you didn't hustle hard enough.
Right. And people internalize that and really truly believe that they weren't good enough, when it's literally built to fail. And by failing, you are actually succeeding in the system.
Of course, because you may have failed, but you have made some money for the upline and for the founders. And that is what it is designed to do.
Yeah.
The attrition rate is probably just crazy. But if you get enough people to join, buy it, get their friends to buy it or whatever, and keep doing that monthly subscription to keep up with their minimums that they have to buy, that all rolls up to the upline. That seems to be how it works, is that like you lose your ass on it, but your upline's making a few bucks, and then like the co-founders are making a lot of bucks.
Yeah. Hope is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
And that's what they sell. They sell hope. If you just work a little bit harder, you know, it took me 6 months. You've only been in it for 2 months. You just need to work a little harder. It's just how it is. This is how this industry works. Like, sorry, nobody explained it to you before you got in. And, you know, you get into these positions and you get into these levels. The first couple levels are usually the easiest ones to get into if you do decide to recruit and build a team. But then once you're in those levels, you're stuck, right? All your eggs are in your basket. You've got maybe $1,000 bonus coming in, but you have to spend $600 to get it.
Right.
And you're like, oh, well, I can't leave $400 on the table. I guess I'll spend $600 worth of stuff I don't need so I can get that $1,000 bonus and be in the green for $400 of it.
Yes.
And that happens so often. And that's where people are like, nobody forced me to buy anything. Or why are their garages full of stuff? It's like, because of that right there. Because they're being told you're leaving money on the table. When I was in LuLaRoe, Mark, who's the founder, if you've seen Lula Rich, you know what he looks like. And he says things like, if you're not participating in the leadership bonus plan, then you're burning my money. You're leaving money on the table. And that's an insult to me. You're burning my money.
It's completely predatory. And I want to go back to something you had said earlier. You know, you're absolutely right when you say that we don't see the ones that fail, right? You're only seeing the girl pulling up into her driveway and having her husband film it. And she's in this brand new Tahoe. Look what I bought with my bonuses. Look what I, you know, all those things. However, there is something, and there is one particular person that I have in my head right now. And of course, I'm not going to name names, but I have been watching this person and I have all these suspicions that are telling me, number one, she's fun to look at. She's adorable and she's in a makeup type MLM. So she's sort of turned it into like, oh, I'm a beauty influencer, but she's also part of this MLM, right? First of all, my hackles went up when I saw one day, it was like she had 1,700 followers, right? Like a week later, she was at like 10K. You did not go from 1,700 to 10K in a week. Organically, you paid for followers. That is, if I were to put money on it. So, and look, people probably do that all the time. I think there are probably huge celebrities people would be shocked to know that they paid for followers. However, probably, and I'm not going to go deep dive it and you know, be able to prove it, but I'm looking at it going, okay, so now all these women who you're trying to recruit under you, you're giving them a false sense of this is, look how successful I've been able to be. Right. When in reality, you probably bought those followers. That's number one. Number two, yes, you just pulled up in the driveway and you're saying you got this brand new Tahoe. It's the car of your dreams. And you're telling us that's because of my checks that I'm getting from this MLM, but I have yet to see your profit and loss statement. All right.
Right.
And look, I can pull up in a Ferrari tomorrow and I can tell you that it's because Jamie's podcast just blew up. I am balling out of control. But there are so many ways you can go out and get something expensive and be leveraged up to your ears. All I'm saying is that like a lot of shit we see on social media, it isn't reality. And it is so easy to game the system. You can buy followers. You can say you bought the Tahoe with your checks from this MLM when in reality you're leveraged up to your ass and could barely afford it, you know, and had to get a really high interest rate to get it. I'm making things up, but it's like, it's not all real what we see. And I've heard somebody say this on your podcast before, and it totally resonated with me. It's like, they do all the things, right? They show a picture of the check. Look at this check. It's $3,000, let's just say, right? It's $3,000. I made $3,000. But when you, first of all, when you have to show a picture of the check, that's a red flag.
It's also illegal.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there's that too.
And I've done it. I'm guilty of doing that when I was in LuLaRoe. I absolutely did it.
But I'm sure they coach you to do that, right? Show them the proof. But if you're in a legitimate business, you're never going to feel compelled to show us your check, to show us your tax returns or whatever it is. Like, you don't need to do that because nobody really thinks that your business is a scam.
It's just a very strange thing. I mean, imagine just like going to the grocery store after work of your salaried job that you like went to college and have a degree for, and then like taking a picture with the checkout person and being like, so glad my lawyer job got me my groceries today. It's odd behavior.
It is odd behavior.
Those are red flags that like people just sort of be like, well, I don't know. She's just kind of strange. She's like really into this thing. But like, those are red flags. And even looking back, once you're out of this cult fog, this MLM fog, you look back and you go, oh my God, I am so embarrassed that I posted that.
But you think at the time, everybody else around you, all of your peers are doing it. And it's like, I can see them spinning it in a way that's like, this is inspirational. Show these women out there who want a side hustle that you just got a $2,000 check. Like, and you're proud. Like, look, I hustled. But like, they're also not showing you what their expenses were and their time. A $2,000 check means nothing to me unless I can see your profit and loss statement and I can see all of the expenses. How many kits, you know, you bought your kit, your monthly minimums that you have to meet, your time spent every day tracking all these people on a spreadsheet to recruit them, you know, going to events, because I highly doubt the MLM is paying for you to go to all these inspirational events, the travel expense. So how much did it cost you to get that $2,000 check is what I'm always curious about.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's probably close to like at least half is what they spent to get it. I mean, the people at the top of the pyramid are probably hitting these numbers like no problem, like on the third day of the month, not a problem at all, because they exponentially have so many people underneath them. And it's all about, it's a numbers game. And so the people at the very, very top, they're like, I don't understand. It's like so easy. Like, yeah, obviously.
For you.
I remember like hitting my numbers within the first 2 weeks in LuLaRoe and being like, whew, got my bonus check. Don't have to worry about it. Like knowing that. But there also were people who are struggling at the last day of the month. We see it all the time. If you go on social media on like the 28th, 29th, 30th of the month, you will see it. You will absolutely see the sales, the hustle. I just need if everybody just spent $7.32, then I could afford, you know, like I have 200 friends. And if everybody, you know, they do this. In fact, we even made a game one time on YouTube and we played end of month bingo. And we were just using their posts as our bingo. Like, and we were getting bingo. It was wild. And it's so like systemic. It is so robotic and it's formulaic. Mm-hmm. It's literally, you just plug it in. You just take out, put name here, and you just copy and paste it and send it on. Some of them don't even take that out.
Right.
I've seen all kinds of screenshots of people being like, they didn't even take out, put their name here. They just They just sent it to me.
It's literally like copy. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Where it's just like a literally complete like copy a paste, like template.
Yeah. And you're doing it so fast without any care at all that you're making these really basic mistakes that this is your first impression of trying to sell somebody something and you called them, put their name here.
Oh my gosh, that's terrible.
You know, like, and so the backside that people don't understand is that these companies are literally training people like me to deceive people.
Mm-hmm.
Deanne would tell us like, fake it until you become it. She said that instead of fake it till you make it. Like I've seen people go to like expensive car dealerships and just take pictures in front of cars and crop out. So it looks like they're, or showing a rental. I had a person that came on my show and was talking about Amway, and they were talking about how at these big Amway events, there are actually vendors there that were renting like jewelry and high ticket items to the top Amway people so that they could go in and look like they had Louis and diamonds and they were dripping and all of this stuff. But it was all rentals that they were renting at the convention, and the Amway people were getting a cut of the rentals. Like it's all, it's just, it's happening in front of people's eyes and they're still going like, look at them. They're so amazing.
Oh my gosh. And I know this word gets thrown around, but it is very culty.
Oh, it's a cult.
Very, very scammy. I mean, there are very, very, very intelligent, highly educated people who fall victim to scams. And it is like they carry around this shame with them, but that is absolute proof. Anybody could be a victim. They are just so good at what they do, the manipulation tactics, and just playing on people's vulnerabilities. I mean, that is what they do. And military wives who move around a lot with their partners to another state and they find themselves without a friendship circle. Well, and then a hun bot DMs them like, hey, mm-hmm. love your profile. So cute. Like, oh my God, me and my friends, we do this. And, you know, it's just the whole thing. You know,
yeah, you'd be so great at what I do. You're like, you don't know anything about me at all. Like I could be a serial killer. What do you mean I'd be so great at what you do? What do you do?
Totally. I know. And I've gotten those DMs actually. And a couple girls from high school, but, and they're always so complimentary and it's just the whole thing. And the thing is, I'm not even really trying to come down on them. I don't think that most of these people are bad people. I really don't. I think quite the opposite. They're just like you and me, and they've gotten caught up in something. And also, once you get caught up in something, it's so much easier to deceive people than to convince them they've been deceived. Convincing them that like, no, you've been had. It's the right. hardest thing for them to come to that realization. They're like, holy shit, I have been tricked. Mm-hmm. And to admit to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's cognitive dissonance. And it's when like two opposing views that you both know are true are like battling, like, well, right. I know this, but then they're giving me proof that what I know is not real. And that's proof and it's factual, but I know this in my heart. And I spent the last, I don't know, 20 years of my life believing this to the teeth, cutting people out of my life because of my belief, not, you know, doing specific things, missing out on things because of my belief. And now you're showing me that my belief is not real. Like this is a scam. It's a cult. It's a fraud. No. Because that realization of having to admit that what they're doing and what they have been involved in, that they got had, that they were wrong, that they got scammed, that is the hardest thing for people to admit. And it's one of the hardest steps of getting out of these is that realization and the actualization and then taking accountability for like, okay, I was had and I tried to get other people had too. Because I realized to not be had, I had to basically make someone else get had so that I wasn't that person anymore.
Sure.
And that's a part of this. And I think a lot of people, as they're leaving, they start to realize when they really do the work, they go, oh my God, the posts I made, the guilt, I made people feel guilty for not wanting to eat organically or, you know, get away from the toxins in their life or whatever it is. I made people feel guilty. I lost friends over it.
Sure.
And so it's really, really hard for people to say that. And a lot of times where you see people like Stockholm syndrome, they just stay. Because it's easier. It is easier than opening that Pandora's box and having to go, holy fucking shit. What did I do? And who did I believe? And what was the ripple effect of my pebble in that pond?
Yeah.
It's really hard to come to terms with. I mean, I'm still coming to terms with it every day. And I've been out of LuLaRoe since 2017. Was that like 5.5 years? I don't even know how long. A long time. And it's really hard. And not a lot of people want to or can do it. And so I think that's why we see so many people who will defend. I even see people still that aren't even in LuLaRoe defending LuLaRoe because it would be detrimental to their mind to admit that they were part of it.
Sure.
You see a lot of people staying in religions, Scientology, different cults like that for a long time and saying, why can't you just leave? Why can't you just walk out that door? Why can't you just start over? And that's a much more complicated question than just walking out the door. There's a lot there.
There's so much there, and you can draw so many parallels, like you said, between like cults, scams, MLMs, certain religions. Like you really can draw a lot, or you're getting out of any of these. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is that, like, if I'm a part of anything and I decide to stop doing that thing, and I'm going to lose friends and or loved ones because I've left, it was not a good thing to begin with. It just wasn't. Right. Because those are not genuine relationships. That's a problem. And it's the same with the MLM. It's like, I imagine that's part of the realization of like, you know what? I've been losing money now that I've really looked at my numbers. I'm actually losing money at this LuLaRoe thing or whatever MLM it is. That's one thing. But if I leave, I'm literally going to lose the girlfriends that I've been associating with and having wine with and getting on Zooms with. And we compliment each other. They're going to leave and I'm no longer going to have a built-in like friendship circle.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be tough too, because what they're starting to realize, obviously having these thoughts, that it was never really real anyway, but it's still in some way companionship, even if it's dysfunctional. And even if it's predicated on you being part of that same MLM, it's still something that, like, I imagine fills your time. And it's fun to be a part of the group text message and making jokes with each other and getting together for drinks. And if all that stops, it's a really lonely place to be.
Yeah. I mean, excommunication almost feels just like death because you're not really, most likely will never talk to these people again.
As soon as I started feeling proud of successfully executing Thanksgiving dinner, I was quickly reminded by my daughter's wish list that the holiday season wasn't over and I needed to start preparing for Christmas. No matter how many years of the holiday season I've experienced, it always seems to sneak up on me. If you're a small business owner, or you just have a huge family with almost enough members in it to fill a small business, the seasonal excitement, or dread, is starting to settle in right about now. But don't worry, with Stamps.com, it's not too late to get your holiday mailing and shipping under control. In only a few minutes, you can sign up and print your own postage so you can beat the holiday chaos at the post office. Stamps.com is your one-stop shop for all of your shipping and mailing needs. For more than two decades, Stamps.com has been indispensable for over a million businesses. With just a regular computer and printer, nothing fancy, you'll get access to the USPS and UPS services needed to run your business with no lines, no traffic, and no hassle this holiday season. You can even save up to 86% off with major discounts on USPS and UPS shipping rates. This holiday season, trade late nights for silent nights and get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with promo code DIRTYMONEY for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code DIRTYMONEY.
I was blocked. I was like removed from everything. I didn't have any access to like the group chats. I didn't have any access to the groups I was in. I was removed from everything. I was blocked by people who I thought were friends, who I literally had talked to the day before about stuff.
Wow.
So you can't even get an update on what's going on or the doctor's appointment you went to yesterday, because I'm no longer even in your life anymore. Mm-hmm. And so having to mourn those relationships as death, because they will not associate with you at all. And I didn't think that was going to happen. And it did. I thought, no, I'm nice. People will understand. And it wasn't about me being nice or me being a good friend or me being there for that person when they needed it or, you know, any of that, or me helping anybody. Like, it wasn't about any of that. It was us versus them. And I was on the outside now. And so, nope, Roberta's gone. So
it wasn't a genuine relationship, but it felt genuine to you. And you certainly thought like, no, it's still going to be there. That it's so sad to think and see, but they're actively being manipulated and they could still, I can still believe that these people who rejected you in that way, which seems like a very cold and a very mean thing to do. But I also know that a good majority of, if not all of them, are also just being manipulated and pressured, and they're just in it. They're like in that cult and in that mindset that like, okay, now you're the bad guy. You're not with us. You're against us.
Absolutely.
And they're not bad people for the most part. I would, you know, they're just sort of caught up in something.
Absolutely. They're definitely caught up. And there have been people that have left that unfriended me and blocked me, who have unblocked me and refriended me and reached out and said, you were right. I'm sorry. And I said, it's so good to talk to you. It's so good to see your face. You don't even have to say that. Like, it's fine. I understand. Like, you're in a very, very high demand group. Like, you don't, like, Deanne literally will tell you, block them, block them. She's gone. You don't want that. You know, she's negative. She's talking negative, blocker. Comes from Deanne. So you listen, because if you don't listen, you're made an example of and you get punished. And you get punished in ways that are like very covert, that like nobody would understand because they're not on the inside like you are. You know, you decide, you say no, you don't get invited to come on stage to speak anymore. You say no, you don't get to be a part of like this event. You don't get invited to the next one. You know, I started asking questions and the next event I was uninvited to. Oh, we just don't have enough people and we're not doing it this way. And I was like, but you let them go. And they're like, what? And I started realizing that I was slowly being excommunicated because I had started asking questions. Yes. And I didn't realize it back then, but that was like the beginning. Like, she's asking too many questions. The first couple questions I asked, I got like love bombed and like gifts. Like, oh, do you want to go on a cruise? Don't worry about that question. Do you want to go on a vacation for free? Oh my gosh, yes. Okay, I won't worry about that question. Here's a cookie, go sit on the bench. I was distracted enough until the distractions didn't work anymore and I still had the same questions. And then it was like slowly I was being punished. Well, Roberta's not invited to this anymore. Roberta wasn't on that Zoom call. Roberta didn't get to be a part of that training. Roberta didn't do this or wasn't invited to this event. And, you know, looking back on it and seeing it and being like, it's just, it's culty. It follows all of the signs of the bite model, every single one, which is Dr. Stephen Hassan, who is works with cults. He formulated the bite model and it stands for behavior, information, thought, and emotion, which are the ways that high demand groups control you. I use the term high demand group and cult sort of interchangeably because most everybody knows what a cult is. But at the same time, people don't look at MLMs and think they're cults because you're just selling lipstick and shakes. That's not a cult. You chose to join. You're choosing. It's all of your choosing. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look like a traditional cult like Jonestown or Heaven's Gate or something that ends in this horribly destructive massacre. And I want people to understand that just because my psychological manipulation and torment didn't end in my murder doesn't mean that it is any less valid and didn't happen. Mm-hmm. It did happen. And I still process through it. And I help others process through it too. But I see people say things like, oh, it's a mini cult. And I've been guilty of saying this too. And again, we just try to be better than we were the day before. But people are like, oh, that's like a cult. We can be more specific. We can call it a personality cult or a commercial cult or a guru cult or a one-on-one cult. But they're cults.
Yeah.
We're not going to say, oh, it's like a little cult or it's like a culty cult or it's like a real cult. Because they're all
you're just minimizing it. It's kind of like, you know, with, you know, my true crime brain immediately goes to, you know, back in the day, a guy who sort of peeked through your window, he's just a peeping Tom. Right. No, a peeping Tom. It makes it sound so innocent, like he just wants to peek. No, the dude is actively stalking you and his behavior is going to escalate. That is a very disturbing and dangerous behavior. You could end up dead because this guy is peeping through your window. You know, it's more that, let's not call it a peeping Tom. This is very disturbing behavior. It's something way more elevated than that. And you're right. I totally agree with you. MLMs, it's not a mini cult. It's not cultish. It is a cult. And we can say that because of all of the parallels that it shares, the traits in common with an actual cult, like the Jonestown or the Heaven's Gate. Like you said, there are just so many that you could rattle off that it's like same. So let's call it what it is.
Yeah. Watching Scientology content is what made me go, oh shit, I'm in a cult.
Wow.
Like that happened to me in LuLaRoe. Like what they're talking about, I literally experienced that like 2 weeks ago. I was like, holy crap. Like I was seeing it in real time and going, my cognitive dissonance was just blowing up, just shattering, cracking. All the light was coming in. And I'm like, oh, and I figured it out. And I didn't figure out the pyramid scheme until a little later. I figured out the cult first, the cult aspect first, because of the way that I was being treated, ignored, excommunicated, talked to, like being punished for no reason other than just having a question. The cult stuff I figured out first. It wasn't until later when I started talking to other people and I started realizing that other things were happening with money and things that I started oh crap, this is a scam too. And then digging deeper into that and realizing, oh no, it's like a pyramid. Like it's literally the definition of a pyramid scheme. And it is being run as a pyramid scheme and not as a multi-level marketing company. There's a very small governmental distinction, but LuLaRoe was not making that distinction. And I was like, hi, I have information if anybody wants it. And that's sort of what happened. But yes, it's they're cults. It's wild. It's all connected.
It is. And, you know, when you think about, you know, somebody who joins an MLM, of course, they look at it like it's like, oh my God, I'm kind of like going to have my own business and I'm going to like make my own hours. And I've always wanted to have my own business. And this is really cool because like the website's already there. I don't have to do that. And, oh, I just buy this inventory kit. Boom, it's inventory. I don't have to go and do the market research and create my own product. Okay, cool. That sounds very exciting. Great. But if you think about, and I heard this on your podcast too, and I'm going to say it wrong and you can correct me, but there aren't enough people in the universe, including like children and babies who can't buy your product, for you to keep going and going and going and selling enough product to be a successful salesperson and make money, right? What is this? How did you break it down? It's like multiples of five or something like that.
Yeah. So this is actually an example that Robert Fitzpatrick, who is the founder of Pyramid Scheme Alert, Robert Fitzpatrick came up with this essentially. It might even be John Taylor. I'm not sure, but it is like OG anti-MLM lore that they did this math. And essentially exponential math, if you're teaching everybody to just get five people, right? You're going to join my MLM, Jamie. And all you have to do is love and use the product. Easy. You're already doing that. And two, find five friends that want to love and use the product too. And then teach them to do what I'm teaching you right now. That's it. How easy is that? I just gave you the pitch in not even a minute. Who can't do that? Who doesn't know five people, right? And of course, you think you go, I know
Sounds
way
great.
More than five people. That's so easy. I only have to find five people. Easy. But when we look at it exponentially, five people getting five people getting five people getting five people, after 13 levels of successful five people getting five people, you will run out of people on earth, including elderly people, babies that are being born, people on their deathbed, people in third world countries who have never even heard of MLMs. But that's not even true anymore, because with the invention of the internet and social media, MLMs are actually reaching into these third world countries, into these tribes, and they're getting there and they're getting into it. But 15 levels and you're out of people. And that's for one MLM. And there are thousands, and I think probably 300 to 500 that are active right now, but there have been thousands over the last 50 years.
It's just, when I heard it broken down like that, I'm like, that makes so much sense to me. Because MLMs, it's such a saturated market, right? There are so many MLMs and there are so many members of an MLM. So let's just say I join some makeup MLM tomorrow, right? And it's like, cool, I know people in the carpool line at my daughter's school and I know this or that. But it's like, I can't imagine the number of people I have to talk to on a daily basis that I have to then try and convert. Let's say I talk to 10 in one day. If I'm lucky, maybe a half or one will convert into a client. But at some point, they're not going to like use it for life and they're going to fall off, or they're going to have enough product for the next 4 months. Right. So then they're not going to buy from me for 4 months. So then now I got to, got to go back at it, go back at it. Or it's just like, God, if the system's that way, it's like, if this was a legitimate product, why isn't this product just being sold on the open market? Why can't I go to Sephora and buy the goddamn mascara? Why does it have to be exclusively, and I got to like sell it as a subscription and a monthly thing? It just, none of it makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Right. It's because the consultants are the true customer, right?
Yes.
So you're buying it already at this like elevated price. You get an MLM like makeup palette, it's like $65.
So
like
expensive.
You can buy a better quality, like ColourPop makeup palette for like $15 at Target right now. You could drive, buy it, come home and put it on your face within an hour.
And nobody's going to be able to tell if it's the $65 eyeshadow or the $5 eyeshadow. It's not going to change your world.
Right.
It's,
you know,
the same
if you're spending $65 on makeup, like I really hope it's like Dior or something like that's just like, treat yourself, girl, get it, you know? Yes. Like, don't spend $65 on like unique, you know what I mean? Like, come on. So
that is not guilty the flex. Of that. I'm that is not that. The flex that people think it is.
Right. It is not the flex at all. And so you're the true customer. Yes. You're paying a premium. Okay. Even the wholesale that these reps are like, I get a really good discount. Even the wholesale is more expensive than the retail on most better products in the grocery store, in the sure. makeup store, in the big box store right now. So that's why they make so much money, right? Mm-hmm. I join and I go, well, I'm going to sell this now. But if someone comes over and they're like, oh my gosh, Roberta's selling lipstick. Oh, too bad you don't have the red one. I really wanted to try the red one. Well, crap. I'm going to have to buy one of everything. Yep. So I'm going to buy the entire stock yep. as a rep mm-hmm. at my cost. And I do get a discount, but again, it's still more than regular makeup would be. Mm-hmm. And now I own the entire stock. So you can come over to my house and look at it anytime you want. But I can't just have the entire stock because those are going to be my testers and I can't mm-hmm. sell my testers. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to get maybe two of everything. Mm-hmm. So then if I have two of everything, but if somebody comes over and I have two people come over that want that red lipstick, so I should probably have three of everything just to be safe.
Yes.
That's the mindset.
People are the profit. Like it's right. literally enough Roberta's out there who's going to join this makeup MLM. They're going to buy not only their starter kit, but then now all of a sudden they're going to feel this pressure to have this inventory because Brenda, who they know from the carpool line, what if she wants red or mauve or burgundy? Like right. So you're going to buy all that. So a piece of what you buy from your starter kit, everything you spend monthly, you know, for inventory that you think you need to have, it's all rolling up to your upline. And then if you recruit those five people are doing the same damn thing. They are right. buying the starter kit. They're buying the red and the mauve and the this because they don't want to lose the sale because if they don't right. have the red that Brenda from the carpool line wants, Brenda from the carpool line can literally just go to the next person down from the carpool line. Chances are they're also selling the same exact product that you are. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is like the saturated market. It's like, not only do I have to like get all these people to buy from me on a consistent basis, and we're talking like big, big numbers, but you also have like what's going to stop them from going to their other neighbor who also sells the exact same product as you right. do? You know what I mean? Maybe they know her a little better. So it's just such a saturated market with these MLM members. So it's like, God, it's so difficult. And this is why it doesn't work. But you're right. People yeah. are really the profit. It's not that all these reps are so successful at selling these wonderful, expensive, overpriced makeup products to like thousands of people each month. It's just that they're meeting their minimums each month and they're buying inventory that they're going to have a hard time selling and they're buying starter kits. They're getting a few people to do the same. Those people are getting a few people to do the same. Every day, yes. new people hop on and do the same thing. And it's just, it is people.
And every day people leave and say, yes. don't join that company. It's a total scam. And people go, you're a hater.
Okay.
And it repeats. It's you're fear-monger. Exactly. It's fear-monger marketing.
Yes.
Because I'm now buying the amount of makeup for like 20 people as a single person.
Yes.
And I'm afraid that Brenda's going to go down the carpool lane and buy the red from the person that's four cars ahead, who's maybe on my team or I'm on her team or she's on a rival team or something yes. like that. There's so much like competition and pitting women against women and men too, but 75% of MLM participants are women. So it is more yeah. of like a women-centric focused problem. But yes, and there's just so much fear-monger marketing where there you're just is. Like, I have to have it. And then we also have to realize that once you've bought the entire set of everything three times, right? But what about spring colors, Jamie? We have our peaches and now we have shimmers and now we have our blushes. And did you know that we're going to go into cream-based makeup now? Oh, and now we're going to do this. Oh, and now it's about this. So every month there's something else being released that you have to have because if you don't get it, Brenda will, and they'll yes. buy it from her.
Such a great point. You're exactly, and I hadn't even thought about that. It's not even about like just buying the same old things and like, okay, now we have our spring colors and you're going to have, oh God, now you're going to spend $400 more so that you won't lose that potential sale yeah. to Brenda, you know, down the road. But it's just app. And that is how your upline and the co-founders make all this money because yeah. you as an MLM member in their downline are feeling all this pressure, you know, and so you're continuing and you're buying. And you're, like you said, you're buying enough product for you are 20 people. You know, you are 20 people. So then if you get a few people to do it, then they do it. And then they buy enough for 20 people. That's what it is. It's not that these products are so amazing and that they're just selling so well, you can't keep them on the shelves. It's right? just that the MLM members are buying it, you know?
So my team buys all these 20 things, right? Like so much. And I get this big, huge bonus check. And guess what I spend it on? Next month's big, huge thing I need to get.
Yes.
So I'm not really making any money because I'm constantly investing, because even when you do make a big bonus check, your upline will say, don't forget to restock. Don't forget to restock. You had such a big sale. Look at your huge bonus check. Oh my gosh, you're so amazing. Don't forget to restock. And oh, don't forget to save a little for next week's sale, because there's something coming up next week that you're going to want to save. So not only are people like spending the money now, but they're also saving a little to be able to spend it. Like there's so much future faking. I had a lot of girls on my team that were like, I really want the launch in 2 weeks. So I'm going to buy a ton of stuff now and I'm going to sell it all. And that will get me enough money to get the launch in 2 weeks. And I'm like, will it though? Because what happened was now they were just stuck with a ton of inventory that they couldn't sell. And then they didn't have enough money for the launch in 2 weeks. And then they're scrambling and they're upset and they're like, my business is going to fail because I didn't get Disney leggings or whatever it is. And then they're scrambling and they're buying Disney leggings from other people who couldn't sell those Disney leggings.
Yes.
So they're going to sell them to you. And maybe you can try. Maybe your people would want them. And then you're buying leggings that nobody wants between consultants because you didn't get it. I don't know the word for it.
They create a frenzy.
And it's like a cacophony
It is. You
it's just
are,
wild.
And that is exactly how you just explained it. It's so easy to see when you take a few steps back. Your people out there in the world are not the customer. You are the customer. The MLM, whoever owns the MLM, they're selling to you as the MLM member, and they're creating a frenzy, making you think that you better hop on these. Oh, you just got that bonus check. You better hop on these spring colors and you da 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 da. And I imagine you being on these Zoom calls. And like you said, these women are being pitted against each other. And if you hear Susie and Sally on the Zoom call going, oh my God, just got my spring colors. You're like, shit, they're ahead of the curve. They've got the spring colors. Now people are going to want to buy from them. I don't have the spring colors for Brenda and the carpool line. Shit, here's $500. Let me buy those spring colors so I can keep up with the Joneses. And it's a frenzy. And they're very, very, very good at making you think that you're like a business owner and that you're
boss,
but you're the customer. Yes, and it's not. Dude, if this was your own business, this drives me wild too. It's like, you're not a business owner. If you were a business owner, you would have complete control over what is being sold, how it's being sold, what your website looks like.
You can and can't discount and at what price point.
Absolutely. And you're exactly right. And it's like, you know, I go back to, and also what also trips me out about, you know, these MLMs is like, okay, Primerica, for example, right? Primerica, I'm showing my age, guys. I'm showing my age. So Primerica, you know, I knew a couple of guys back in the day who were sort of like family, but like friends, whatever. We'd go to the bars and all, we'd go out and get messy and like, we just great guys. We'd have so much fun. And they knew nothing about financial, you know, management. They do nothing about life, nothing about the financial world at all. These are blue collar construction worker. Like, okay, they go to a primary, they get pulled in, they go to this Primerica meeting, right? And then now all of a sudden they've seen the light and they're like, oh my God, I've just had a light bulb turn on. I am going to be my own boss. I am going to work for Primerica and I'm going to do financial consulting and all. And it's like, then they approach me. They approached me and my husband at the time, my ex-husband, and they're like, hey, so can we have a meeting? I think this would be really, I can really help you out. And in my mind, I'm literally going, yesterday when I saw you, you were a construction worker and we were going to the bars and hanging out. Today, because you've gone to a couple meetings and now you're wearing a tie, you know, in some of the pictures that I see of you, you're going to come to my house and literally tell me how to manage my money. That's wild.
Well, he's now a hun bro.
Right. He's a hun bro. Like,
and that's how it is.
And it's like that with like Beachbody. You know, we just did a series on Beachbody. It's like, dude, you have no, for the most part, I'm assuming most of these people who join Beachbody, these are for the most part, not anybody who's certified in health, nutrition, dietetics, fitness. They're lay people like you and me.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, like you literally just flip, you pay some money, get your starter kit. And literally now you're giving fitness and health advice. That's wild and also dangerous.
There's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to hair care. A product that works wonders for curls might make straight hair limp and greasy. Personally, I'm on a journey to get more volume and strength in my hair. Anyone who knows the extreme maintenance and upkeep that blonde hair requires also knows how damaging all the dye and bleaching can be on your hair. So I'm always looking for hair care products that maintain my hair strength and can withhold my styling routine. My hair is naturally very fine, and I've always dreamt of thick, voluminous, bouncy hair like all the models in the hair ads. Thanks to my personalized Pros routine, I can honestly say I've never been more in love with my hair. Pros works because it's personalized hair care, which means that it's tailored to suit your specific hair needs and goals. They use natural ingredients with proven results, and Pros customizes every product in your routine, from shampoo to supplements. First, Pros gets to know you by asking questions through their hair quiz, and I was surprised at some of the questions they asked me. I expected them to ask about my hair damage level, but I was surprised to see them ask about my eating habits and my current exercise routine. I answered about how I loosely follow a keto diet, work out 4 to 5 times a week, and dye my hair every few weeks. Pros then analyzed my answers to figure out which unique blend of ingredients I needed in each of the products in my personal hair care routine. With that level of attention to detail, I knew that Pros had my hair goals covered. When I started using the Pros shampoo and conditioner, I started noticing a change in my hair after only a few washes. My hair looked healthier and more shiny, and most importantly, more voluminous. After years of misleading hair products, I was so happy to have finally found products that actually made a difference in my hair. And did I mention that Pros is also the first custom beauty brand to go carbon neutral? Pros is the healthy hair regimen with your name all over it. Take your free in-depth hair consultation and get 15% off your first order today. Go to pros.com/dirtymoney. That's PROSE.com/dirtymoney for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off.
It's it is very interesting. And it's like, you hear you see these, both of those examples with the robots and the beach body, these people join these things and they're like, I've seen the light. It's all about residual income. And you're like, oh, okay. It's all about multiple streams of residual income. It's about building wealth. It's about building wealth. And you're like, how? And they're like, by selling bullshit insurance policies to people who also don't understand finances. You're like, oh, okay. Good luck with that.
Have fun with that.
And then Beachbody, it's all of these people who are just like really passionate about fitness, you know? And you're just like, since when? Since when are you passionate about fitness? To the point that you're going to be selling, you know, they call it the Netflix of workouts, their streaming service and their shake. That I have so many episodes on Beachbody from people that were like high at the top who expose all this stuff and people that were a small fish. And it's all the same. It's all the same toxic diet culture. It's all the same. Like, I got an eating disorder. I got bankruptcy. I got a divorce. It's like, those are the stories. Like, no one is coming out of Beachbody going, I solved all my problems and it's great.
Nobody,
mm-hmm. Not even the people that they're putting out there. You look at these people, and I hate to name names too, but you're looking at these people who are put up there as the trainers, as the top of the pyramids. They don't look happy.
No,
they look miserable.
They absolutely
don't. They look malnourished. They look exhausted. They look like, help me. I'm blinking twice. Is anyone paying attention? I'm wearing my favorite yellow shirt today. Is someone going to come save me? Hashtag free Britney kind of thing. Like, that's what it looks like to me. And it's terrifying. And there's nothing I can do to wake any of these people up other than what I'm already doing and creating the content and creating the education and hoping that the algorithm, you know, does work for good. It works for good and not for evil like it normally works. Sure. And I'm hoping that the algorithm will work in my favor and find those people that need to hear the message that I'm saying. I have so many people that listen to my podcast that are smack dab in the middle of their MLMs, and they're either listening going, see, my MLM's not like that, or they're listening and they're going, oh crap, she just talked about my MLM and she's not lying. I have to be compassionate. I have to understand that, like, there are people who need this advice and need this little bit of, like, compassionate, tough love. Who, I'm not going to call you stupid. I'm not going to tell you you're dumb. I fell for it too.
Yes.
It happens. So many people fall for it. The MLM industry, and this is a very old statistic, so add however many more billion onto this that you like. But I believe this statistic is from like 2013, 2014 or so. Back then, MLM industry was $178 billion with a B dollar industry. That is more than the NFL. That's more than music. And that is more than Hollywood combined.
Absurd.
Combined.
Absolutely shocking.
And people, when people fail, they go, I just wasn't a salesperson. No, you're in a massive corporation conglomerate pyramid scheme that is corrupt, like that is colluded by the government and protected. And the people at the top that are making all of this money are like some of the most horrific, nasty people who have fraud cases and investigations into all of these things behind them. And it's just like in church, when someone gets in trouble for doing the worst possible thing, they get a slap on the wrist and they move to a different church. These people get fired as the CEO of this MLM and become the CFO of another MLM.
Mm-hmm.
And they just move them around.
Mm-hmm.
It is disgusting and toxic. And everyone's like, I just wasn't a good salesperson. I'm like, you are missing so much of the point right now. It's not even funny.
Absolutely. Oh my God. Yeah, it is not you. It's them. As evidence, it is not you. It's them. As evidence, why I want to see the attrition rate. Like, I would love to see that data.
Right? The churn rate, the ROI. I'd love to see any of that. But MLMs don't keep those kind of numbers.
They don't. And they also, like, I think they kind of game the system with regard to their numbers.
Oh, absolutely.
To make it look like, you know, people are actually making money when we know for a fact that they're not.
Oh, absolutely. I have had to reverse engineer income disclosure statements to actually get the real numbers, because they're like 50% make this much. And I was like, so that means 50% make less than that.
Yes.
Like, if you're telling me that at least 50% of your people make at least $1,200 a year, which is like the most insulting number ever, you're telling me that half make less? Half make less than that horribly abysmal number, but you won't put it on your income disclosure statement. So I'm going to have to reverse engineer these numbers to figure that out. And I've done the math. I've looked at multiple income disclosure statements, because people are always like, well, a 9-to-5 job, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, paycheck, whatever, right? You do a job, you get the salary, the paycheck, the contract, whatever it is in a regular job. That's how that works. Mm-hmm. MLM is all up in the air. So I'll tell people, I said, you know what, for the benefit of the doubt, I'm going to take the numbers that your company puts out, and I'm going to figure out what that number would be if you worked, and we'll be fair, a part-time job. If you worked this business as a part-time job, with that being the average that people make yearly, let's see how much that hourly rate would be.
Is it negative or 20 cents an hour?
It's not negative, but it's less than prison wages.
Wow.
It's about 25 to 50 cents an hour.
I'm not shocked by that at all. Yeah. When you just said $1,200, you know, by their math, that's absolute for all the time and effort. And that's what people are not accounting for. It's like you hear so many times and they say, oh my God, I made $5,000. I made $500. Made? Does that, when you say you made,
what did you gross?
Yes. When you made money, what'd you put in your pocket? What is your net profit? Like you're telling me I made $1,000 last month. Okay, but that's probably the growth. That's the amount of the check. But we all know there were expenses and time that went into that. What is that number? And I think that's a harsh reality. Like I talk to friends and it's like, you know, my idea is like, gosh, you know, because you're better to give advice than I would. But if somebody was like considering getting into an MLM, it's like, okay, but
run.
First of all, don't. How about don't? But also, if you really want to consider it, like have them show you their profit and loss. Have them literally, and most of the time, I don't think that these MLM members are running a profit and loss. I think they are putting all this time that's not accounted for into it, all this time and effort. They're spending money on a credit card that they're not maybe properly tracking, you know, and they're just, I got to have that spring colors. I got to have this. I got to have the inventory. And they're not really like they're letting their expenses get away from them.
Yeah.
But the moment they get a check, they're like, oh, I'm
in the green again.
In their head, they're like, if it weren't for this MLM, I would have never gotten this check. Right. But it's like, if it weren't for that MLM, you wouldn't have spent X amount of hours at 25 cents an hour wage, you know, and money to buy.
And you wouldn't have a garage full of red lipstick either.
That you can't sell.
That nobody wants. And now it's quote unquote expired, because the expiration dates on MLM products are notoriously short.
we haven't even that's not even something that I thought about. It's like, gosh, you've got all this inventory and it's like, okay, now it's expired. And also, like you said, the MLM quickly moves on to the next big thing, the next spring line. And it's like, now nobody wants the winter line.
Yeah.
That's just,
and a lot of times MLMs will only take back, like when you quit and you do like a resale, it's usually like only you get 90% because there's like a restocking fee. But most times, like MLMs will only let you return what you've bought in the last year, in the last 12 months. And then also anything that is like seasonal or in some sort of capsule, a lot of times they won't let you return that because it's not part of like the main line. They can't put it back up for sale because that's a spring color that is not for sale anymore.
You're stuck with
it. And so there's a lot of like stipulations as well when they're saying, oh, it's like, there's no risk. You'll get, there's a money back, you know, it's totally fine. But they don't also then go into, well, you can't return spring, summer, you can't return holiday, you can't return Christmas. We can't return the glitters. You can return the main line. You're like, well, I don't really have any main line. Like, so it's very, very misleading and intentionally so.
Absolutely. Because you are the customer.
Right. Again.
Right. Right back to the same. You are the customer. That's what we need to like drill into people's heads. You are the customer. Yeah. The second you realize that you are the customer, maybe some people would start to listen. But, you know, and also there is hope because it's like you say yourself, like you were knee deep. Like that was your whole world. You were in LuLaRoe and you thought you were doing good and making money and all this stuff until one day you realized you weren't. So if it worked on you, you were able to get out of it. It's going to work on other people. So keep doing what you're doing because it is making a difference. I'm sure you probably get, does it feel like sometimes you're screaming at a wall and like nobody's listening? You're screaming into like
the void,
this black
right?
hole. Yeah, the void that like nobody's listening. But like, I guarantee you people are listening.
Yeah. For a long time, it felt like I was screaming into the void. And then I think really starting my podcast, I started it in 2021. In February on Valentine's Day. It was my first Valentine's Day as a single woman. And that's what I was like, I'm going to do this on Valentine's Day. I'm going to I'm going to start a new relationship with the most needy relationship I've ever had. And so I started it then and it's been my healing. And it's just in the beginning, I didn't really know what I was doing. And I felt kind of like screaming into the void and being like, is anyone ever going to listen? And it took off. And obviously, like I was in a documentary, so it took off even more then. But even before I was in Lula Rich, the podcast was doing really well. And there were so many people that were reaching out and saying, yes, yes, this is exactly how I felt. You're putting into words exactly how I feel. And I got so many people messaging me saying, your podcast was the reason I left my MLM, or your podcast was the crack that opened my eyes and made me actually do research. Because you were saying you should actually do the research. And I hadn't. And I was really like, well, she's right. I haven't. Let me do it. And then I did it and it introduced me to the fact that like, oh, this man killed his child. I don't want to be a part of this company. And they leave or these things that these deep, dark secrets that these companies hide that are there if you want to dig and find. And really for me, I'm like, there's a red flag. There's an X. Here's a shovel. If you are interested, it's there. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to force anybody. I'm not about control. I'm not going to tell you to leave your MLM. I'm not going to tell you you're stupid for staying. I understand. I stayed longer than I needed to and wanted to because of those things too. There's a lot of empathy and compassion and understanding because I've been in those shoes. I'm not ever going to do that. I'm not going to be the person that's like, Roberta told me to leave my MLM and now I'm even worse off.
Right.
I don't ever want that to happen. Like it is a very personal choice. If you're leaving, you need to be ready. There are people that message me and say, I'm starting today. It's going to take me about a year. Is it cool if I email you and give you updates? I said, I would love to hear your updates. Mm-hmm. And they message me and I get that. I finally quit. I pulled the plug today. I'm so excited. Thank you so much. And it's just really great. You know, it takes time. Everybody's journey is different. It's not formulaic on this side. It's formulaic when you get in, but it is not formulaic getting out. And it looks so different. And I know that there are people that like look at me and my journey and compare themselves to that, whether like, I don't have a lot of followers or how come nobody wants to hear my story, whatever it is. Like there's no comparison here. I've been doing this since 2017, but my documentary came out in 2021. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of years that I was working behind the scenes and doing a lot of things that people didn't even know about. And they just see this documentary and they're like, I wanted to do that, or I want that too. And how come it's not, you can't compare. There's so much work to be done. And it's just, everybody's story is different and everybody's story is valid and needed. We need every single type of story to fill this jar, right? Like there's like the science experiment I always see about like, is the jar full, right? You fill the jar full of like ping pongs and you're like, is the jar full? And you're like, yeah. And then you fill it with like marbles and it fills all the little holes. And you're like, is it full now? And you're like, yeah, it's full now. And then you can put sand, and but then it's still, there's room for water. And it's like, every story is important. Not everybody is a ping pong story.
Right.
Not everybody was thrown through the ringer and has psychological abuse and all of the most horrible things. Some people just have this really, I just want to tell you my story because it's just kind of different. I had one woman that was like, I need to tell you my story because I did everything by the book. Mm-hmm. I never overspent. I never spent on a credit card that I didn't pay off. I never bought anything that I couldn't afford. I never bought anything that I never like went for a rank that I couldn't financially justify, like with that bonus, right? I'm not going to spend more than I'm going to get. And she was meticulous. Every single thing, profit and loss statements from the beginning. And she still lost money. And so it's those stories, right? Like we're telling these really crazy, like huge stories of I was stalked, I was attacked. And then we're also telling these, like the only person I could get on my team was my grandma kind of stories too. And so it's like very real. And I think all of them are very valid. And I want people to know that there is space in this movement for every single person that has a story. And it is so important. In the entire month of November, we talked about that, telling your story with that hashtag I got out and telling your getting out of these high demand groups. It's just, it's so important. And I don't think people understand, like they think I don't have a big enough story. I don't have a good enough story. Nobody's going to listen to my story.
Sure.
And then maybe you leave a comment under someone else's story and your comment is the comment that inspires someone else who's reading your comment.
Yes.
And your comment is the one that makes people go, oh my God, I am in a cult. So you don't know, you don't understand, like you don't have to, you can be that little drop of water story and make the same amount of impact and change as a big ping pong ball story too.
You make a great point.
Know that.
And you come off as completely genuine in that. And you don't come off as somebody. Yeah. Like I've been, you know, listening to your podcast. I saw you in the documentary. You really do not come off as somebody that's like, you know, when somebody starts the keto diet and it's like, they're so in it that they're like, this is the way for everybody because I lost 20 pounds. So you need to be doing it. It's going to work. You were in an MLM. It didn't work out for you, obviously, but it did. Like you were very successful in the MLM, but like at a certain point you realize like, this is not good for me. I'm going to get out for my own reasons. You're not preachy in your message that like, I got out and this is why you have to get out too. You're like, I got out. It's alarming. And I need to send this message out to the world. So at least people are armed with the information because it is so predatory and dangerous. And that's how it comes off to me is that you're just like, I will tell it to anybody who will listen, you know,
absolutely.
These are the facts, but also this is my own experience and everybody's experience is different. And it's kind of like, yeah, like you said, not everybody has to be anti-MLM on a level of Roberta Blevins to be in a documentary and to have a successful podcast. They can also be that person that's just like had a bad experience, has learned a lot of alarming things about the MLM and they want people to know. They could just be having wine with a friend. And just share their story with that one friend that helped that one friend get out of it. And it's kind of like, you know, you see these movements that maybe you want to be a part of, like politically or human rights. And sometimes you beat yourself up. I've done this before where I'm like, but I'm not going to any rallies. Like I'm not getting out there and like protesting and I'm not holding a sign. But what I am doing is that when the topic comes up and maybe I bring it up, maybe somebody else does, I take the opportunity to educate people and say, look, this is what I've learned. This is why I believe that it's important, da, 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 da. And I think that that helps too, right? You don't have to be holding the sign at a rally. You don't have to be on a documentary. You don't have to be a content creator that's anti-MLM. Right. You can just tell anybody who will listen at Starbucks, you know?
Yeah.
And that helps too.
It is really important, you know, and I think part of the reason why I come off as genuine and not pushy or preachy is because to me, like being pushy and preachy is very culty.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be culty.
You're getting, raging against that. That was your old life.
I am very, very conscious of the control, like telling people what to do, telling people you should have done this or I would have done it this way or anything like that. Because I don't like that. I don't like the control. Like I don't want to be controlled. I don't want to control you. I only handle myself. The end, right? It ends there. I don't want any more responsibility than I need to have. And so for me, I just want to point out, there's this great quote on the show BoJack Horseman, where it's like, you don't really recognize that the flags that you're seeing are red flags because you're wearing rose colored glasses. And I totally messed that up because it's something effective. Like,
but
when you're wearing
rose colored
glasses, you don't notice that the red flags just look like flags.
Sure.
And I think a lot of times we're in this space and we just don't see it. And it's important for us to tell our stories and to leave comments and to, it's a community, right? And I'm not even as anti-MLM as I think people would like me to be, because I do give people grace. And
sure.
I do give people that space to, I say it's okay. I give permission to be okay. It's okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And also I have my own like kitschy, culty MLM collection that I've been collecting over the years of weird things. I have like guests and listeners send me things. They're like, do you want my weird Mary Kay diamond? I said, I do. I've got like holiday magic, which is one of the very earliest MLMs that was shut down for being a pyramid scheme in the 1970s. I have one of their like training records that someone sent me, and I'm so excited to listen to it. And so it's like this kind of thing. So for me, it's come full circle to the point where I'm so anti-MLM that now it's kitschy and like
kind of like, collector of MLM paraphernalia. Yeah.
MLM culty paraphernalia. Yeah. I even made a joke. I did a Heaven's Gate episode. I was like, I kind of want a pair of like, not the Heaven's Gate Nikes, obviously, but a pair of Nike Decades would be just cool to have in my like cult museum, but they're very expensive on
eBay.
Shit,
all this time I thought they were Nike Cortez.
Are they not Nike Decades?
Oh, all this time. And I'm like, I used to wear Nike Cortez back in the day, but they're Nike Decades.
They bought them because they got such a good deal because they were just not a popular shoe and they were able to buy them in bulk for very cheap.
And
then after it happened, Nike discontinued the Decade, but people still had pairs and you can buy them on eBay. And stuff.
I got it.
I was
now
like, that is the ultimate. It's one of the
that is the ultimate. Now, if somebody gives you their pink Cadillac from Mary Kay or what is that? Was that a Mary Kay thing?
Yeah. I have a Mary Kay pink diamond. I've got some like pins, like Top Recruiter and stuff. Like they'll send me those things too. So.
I love that though. I think that's actually fascinating. You should start a museum.
Yeah, right. Or like weird stuff I'll find at the Goodwill. I'm like, oh, we're buying this. We're trying this. Like this was an MLM product. We're gonna get this. So it's just kind of fun, you know. Like I'm so far removed from it, and I know who I am and what I am and what I believe And I feel like my content and my message speaks for itself. So I'm able to have fun and to say, you know what? Everyone was telling me this was a really great product and I found it at the thrift store. Let's see if it works. And giving a review of a defunct product that doesn't even exist and you can't buy anymore. I'm like, if you see one of these at your Goodwill, you should grab it though, because it's a pretty good thing. Like if you can get it for under $9.99, like it's a great deal. So, you know, it's just fun. And we create a community where we're talking about trauma and some of the hardest, most difficult things. And if you can laugh through your trauma and you can heal through that laughter, like it is such a more fun and safe space to be. So while we do talk about, I mean, you listen, you know, we talk about some like really heavy stuff and then we make really horrible jokes or things in between and we laugh and we kind of poke fun at ourselves. And I think it's really important to make a heavy topic slightly light in a respectful way.
Yeah.
So that it's easily consumable and it's more fun and you educate yourself a little bit better because you're actually looking forward to listening to something that's educational as opposed to feeling like it's a chore.
You're exactly right. And there is humor in just about everything, right? Yes. And like, obviously context matters and like timing matters, but like, yes, there is humor in just about everything. And it really is a coping mechanism, like not to get off on a tangent, but it's like, you know, me and my mom, we are very, every Thanksgiving, she and I get into a political debate. All right. We are like on opposite sides. But it's that whole like, but we also, the way that we cope with each other is to just make fun of things and to laugh about it. We get into these really deep and like heavy conversations, but like the way we can cope and like coexist is like just like laughing and humor and that, you know. And I think that that often happens like with death too. It's like, gosh, you got to just be able to have those levity, those lighter moments, you know, to be able to make it a little more, palatable.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually made a joke on a recent episode that I was like, is that in bad taste? But I left it in because I thought it was funny. We were talking about therapy and I had a therapist friend come on and we were talking about how it's so important when you're moving out of MLM and if you're hitting these roadblocks, that therapy is a really great thing and to talk to somebody who knows and how to find the right kind of therapist. And she also said, but you know, also telling your story, leaving comments, being on podcasts, that's really great accompaniment. And so I said, so what you're telling me, I made an Optavia joke. I don't know if you guys know about Optavia over here, but it's like a Beachbody kind of thing.
Yes.
Expensive starvation diet, cardboard snacks. And I said, so what you're saying to me is like therapy is like the lean and green and like being on podcasts and sharing your story is like your fuelings. And she's like, did you just compare therapy to Optavia? I said, yes, I did. I absolutely did. So it's that. I was like, everybody listening got it. They all understand it's a great analogy. So.
Totally. Oh my God. You have to be able to do that. I think that more people will listen too. It's like, God, and I know this in true crime too. It's like sometimes it can just get so dark and so heavy, but there are those moments where you can make fun.
Absolutely.
And I've seen like, you know, there's the true crime memes and maybe some of them cross the boundaries of, okay, that's a bit problematic, but like for the most part, there are things that you can poke fun of, right? It's you're not making fun of the victims. You're not, you know, none of that. But there are things that you can poke fun of and we all need to laugh. And I think that in itself is really great therapy, laughter.
Yeah, absolutely. Laughter has saved my life more times than I can count. So for me, going through traumatic experiences has just made me funnier. So I'm like all for it. I'm like, great. A couple years from now, I'm going to have some great stories to tell about this. Not ready to tell them now, but a couple years from now, you know? So for me, I always try to find like the lightheartedness, because I say on my show all the time, if we don't laugh, we cry. And I'm tired of crying.
Yes, it's so true. And, you know, we can make fun of ourselves and all of us make decisions that we would never make today. And you're very open about your story. And I think people appreciate that and they resonate with it. You are not trying to hide the fact that, like, look, you also fell victim to this, like millions of other people. You are not an outlier, despite what like it may seem like when you believe you perceive that you've failed. You're not an outlier. You could literally just like walk across the street and probably the lady across the street's gone through the same thing.
Absolutely.
Where she failed, you know, the sales aspect. So, well, I want to leave you with one last question. Are there any MLMs? And we could talk, there's so many that are problematic. Is there an MLM that you've come across that's like, seems okay-ish? Or can you poke holes in pretty much every MLM that you've come across?
Yeah, because it's a structure, right? It's a structure. There are MLMs that are like, but they're green and clean. I'm like, great. I'm glad they're cruelty-free and I'm glad that they're greenwashing or whatever. Like, I'm glad that they think they're doing something great, but it's still a pyramid scheme. Like, it's still a pyramid scheme. Mm-hmm. But they're using this and they're donating to domestic violence charities. Great. I bet they own that domestic violence charity that they're donating to. And it's really just a tax shelter. But that's great that they're doing that. But it's still a pyramid scheme. But mine saved my life and it got me off my medication and all this stuff. And I said, that's awesome for you. I hope you're not telling people that, because that's kind of a health claim and super not cool. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad it worked for you in your specific instances. But it's still a pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the loss rate for gambling, I think everybody that is of age that has had the opportunity to go into a casino and put a dollar bill in the slot machine has. If you've ever been to Vegas, you know, gambling, the loss rate of gambling is only 95%.
You're better off gambling. And at least you're having a good time, you know, losing your money in Vegas. With MLM, like, you're not having a good time. You're literally like harassing your old friends from high school and your family members. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I just think, you know, we've got to keep putting that number out there, that 99% plus of people who actually break even or lose money in an MLM is just absolutely staggering to me.
And I would say the worst one. I would say the worst one, because there is no good one, but I'll give you the worst one. I think personally for me and all my research and everything that I've learned, Amway. And just sort of their whole thing and everything that they've done, because they're connected to the legality of it. They're the reason that MLMs are legal. They're the reason that they're here. They started a lot of it. They weren't the first, but they were an early adopter. They were very shrewd and smart. They got very entangled with the U.S. government very, very early on. Mm. It's interwoven. You see a lot of that. It's so connected. No one is innocent in this, but I think really that Amway is the grandfather kind of. And so in Amway even existing and being so prolific for so long, that it has really sort of made MLMs and network marketing like commonplace. Like, oh, my mom used Lock soap. Oh, we did Amway. Like, it's so commonplace. Oh, we had Tupperware. We had that. So it's become so commonplace, but Amway is one of the reasons that it is. Mm-hmm. And so for me, and their tool cult scam, which was a story we did on my podcast that was wild. But like, even that, like, it's just, they have allowed so much bad that has then even gotten worse and, mm-hmm. and been manipulated even going forward. And they're the reason I have a job. So I have to really appreciate them at the same time. It's like a double-edged sword here.
Yeah. The goal it's interesting. Like, you're working toward a goal to where you actually could shut down your podcast tomorrow, because there is nobody else in an MLM in this world who needs to hear your message. That would be amazing. Right.
Right. I mean, I don't think that will ever happen, but it would be cool. Right. But that, I mean, obviously that would be like the ultimate goal, is to create so much awareness that people are like, nah, I'm good. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I speak at a lot of college universities. I did a speaking gig at Iowa State. I flew in and was there for a convention or a conference that they had. And I actually spoke via Zoom at the New Jersey School of Business to talk to one of their economics classes about multi-level marketing. And so I'm trying to really hit the younger generation and let them know, like, it doesn't matter what your like tech bro thinks. No. Here are the red flags that are present in all of them, and go forth with this information and protect yourself. And I think that's where we really have to educate the youth, because they're the ones that are going to be joining. They're the ones that don't understand.
Well, I see things are changing, because if we rewind 20 years ago, there wasn't this, but I didn't even know, I never heard MLM. I never really, what's an MLM? Like, I knew people who were in Avon, but it's like, oh, they just join this cool group and they make a little money on the side. Now there's this huge anti-MLM movement. So things are changing, and it's evidenced by, I see creators on Instagram who are in an MLM, but they won't come right out and say it. It'll be hidden in one of their little tiny hashtags. And that tells you they have to do that, because they have to tiptoe around the fact that they're not just this like positive, you know, sends positive messages every day, beauty influencer. They're part of an MLM. They are actively trying to recruit you and make money off of you. And instead of like, if I'm with a legitimate company, I mean, I put murderish on every fucking thing, right? I wear murderish hats. I have a murderish sign behind me. Like, I am like, this is my brand. Here I am. But with this, you know, they're, if you're with a legit company, you would have no problem flashing their logo or the name of the company. But when you're all of a sudden having to hide it in a little hashtag, and that's the only way I was able to see that you're part of an MLM, that tells you that things are changing.
Oh,
that people know that there's a stigma attached to being in an MLM now.
Yeah. There was a quick example before we go, because it fits perfectly. And it's a Beachbody example. There was a woman, and I play this game on TikTok sometimes when I'm bored and I have free time, called How Many Clicks. And if anybody follows me on TikTok, they know they've seen it. And I will find somebody who I know in my heart and in my soul is selling an MLM. And I will see how many clicks it takes me to confirm that.
Yes.
Right? I go to their link, I'll click on maybe a picture or a video, and I'll count them, and I'll take a screenshot each time. And then I'll recount and I say, here was the first click. This is what I saw. And this is what was a red flag to me. And we'll go through it. So there was this one woman who was selling something. And I was like, this is obviously Beachbody. Like, this is obviously Beachbody. I couldn't find Beachbody anywhere. Yeah. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Beachbody. I couldn't find it anywhere. So I started going into her pictures, and I found her. I had to find her Instagram. Still couldn't find it on her Instagram. I'm like, now at like 15 clicks going, maybe I'm wrong. Right. Maybe I'm wrong. She had a PhD. I was like, I don't think I'm wrong though. So I kept going. What ended up having to happen is I was going through her pictures, scrolling through the pictures that actually had comments, because again, she had a lot of followers, but not a lot of likes and comments, which is another like ratio where you're like, this is not like, they bought followers.
Absolutely. Like, they bought followers.
Have a ton
they
of followers. No, they don't have any likes or
no
comments.
Engagement, no engagement, but 20,000 followers makes no sense.
So most of the comments were like promoted on, you know, all of those like bots. But there was one comment that was like, girl, you're such a best fam. You're so amazing. And so great to have you. Blah, blah. And I was like, yes, a clue. And I clicked that person, which led me to her page. And again, I could not find anything. And I was like, I know I'm right. I was so angry. So I just Googled her name.
Yeah.
And then I Googled Beachbody, because I was like, I know she's in Beachbody. And her website came up, and you know, on Google, it says like must include or does not include. It says does not include Beachbody. Yep. I was like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. I was like, it's not even on her website and all these other things. But then I found that she was like a top Beachbody hunt in the UK and was actually on the Team Beachbody podcast.
Wow.
And I found the episode and I was like, there's so much schadenfreude in me right now as a podcaster and an anti-MLM advocate to find out that you are in this MLM. And the way that I found out, because you have obviously done a lot of work to scrub all of your socials of the word Beachbody, but sure, you were called out by the Beachbody podcast. And I was all, that's so good. I was like, you can't hide that.
No.
You can't cover that up.
Exactly. So
it was, it's again, I mean, I think there was like, I don't remember how many clicks. There was like 20. I was like this, I called it How Many Clicks the Movie, because it was the longest how many clicks I had ever done.
But that's, that is a classic example. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. You would not know that this person is like this beauty influencer who just is popping up every day and doing these motivational messages and this and doing her makeup and stuff like it. You would have no idea unless you really, really know how to look and take the time to look, which again, if you're a business owner and have a legitimate business, you are going to scream from the mountaintops the name of your business. Right. Every post, the name of your business is going to be all over that post. It better be, you know, that's how branding works. But if you're hiding it, it's a huge red flag. And maybe that's like advice to like people considering joining an MLM. It's like, okay, right, so the hun bot who's trying to recruit you, is it obvious that she's in an MLM? How many clicks did it take you?
How many clicks did it take you?
Play Roberta's game, you know, because it's like, that's a huge, huge, huge red flag.
And then also here's a red flag. Like when people ask me, when I talk, oh, and so-and-so was on the podcast today, and people go, oh, what's the name of your podcast? I don't say, DM me, hun. I say, Life After MLM, check it out.
Yeah.
I don't say
all secret
check
about
your
it.
Inbox. Yeah. I want people to know. I
it's
want
not
people
a
to go,
secret.
I want to listen to this. I want
it is
to
my
join
business
this community.
Is not a secret. All
not
right.
A secret. It's not a secret.
Such a great point. And I think that's a really great place to end, because it's like, if you know, I always try to think about like what advice, you know, you give people who are like considering it or things to consider. It's like, that's something to consider. If they are hiding the fact that they are part of this MLM, that is a huge red flag. They have something, a reason to hide. So don't
do it. My biggest red flag to share with your listeners is there's only one type of business that trains their reps on what to say when someone asks them whether or not they're a pyramid scheme.
Oh, perfect. I have never
there's
been
no one at
on
Target
that.
Going, no, I promise we're not a pyramid scheme. It's told you can totally shop here. We got new stuff. Here's a red cart. We are not a pyramid scheme. There's nobody at the Walmart corporate events going, so the first thing in business, if anyone asks if we're a pyramid scheme, we're definitely not.
It's because you're in a pyramid scheme is why they're coaching you on how to say that you're not in a pyramid scheme. Otherwise they would have no reason. I think that's a perfect, perfect way to put a bow on this entire episode. It's such a good point. Absolutely. And it's like almost like these things are hiding in plain sight. You know, these red flags are hiding in plain sight. But thanks for sharing your story and making time to come on my podcast.
Yeah. And if anybody's listening and going, oh my God, I think I'm in one of these and I need some advice, just hit me up. I'm on Instagram. You can find me, Roberta Blevins. Just Google me. I'm everywhere.
Yeah. Let's, okay. So again, I want you to, the name of your podcast is Life After MLM. You guys, I am a listener and I did not become a listener because she's on my show. I've been a listener because it's fascinating content. And I'm not even somebody who has been in an MLM. I've not been in that world, but I find it very fascinating because it has that culty, scammy aspect to it. And we all have some, we've all had some brush with an MLM, whether it's you were in one, you bought the products, yada, yada. So Life After MLM is your podcast. And what is your handle on social media?
So on Instagram, I'm The Real Roberta Blevins. And on TikTok, I am Berta Like Whoa, W-H-O-A.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Thank you again,
email
Roberta.
Email me. Email is the best way to get a hold of me. Is The Real Roberta Blevins at gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me.
Oh, nice to meet you, Roberta. Thank you again for making the time. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Jamie.
Dirty Money Moves is a collaboration between Murderish and Cloud 10 Media. Executive producers are myself, Jamie Rice, and Sim Sarna. Research, writing, and producing for the miniseries is done by Devin Ruskin. Emily Crane does the audio mixing and editing. Josh Cook composed the music, and Brian Stefanik created the podcast cover art. Follow us at Dirty Money Moves on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. And if you like the show, please rate us, review us, and leave us a few stars at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now. If you're into true crime content, check out my other podcast, Murderish. Thanks so much for listening, and see you next week for a brand new episode.